Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Would you want Trae Young to the Hornets? I think it's a question that, well, quite frankly, I don't even know what to do with, but it is an interesting one. And when Smoke sent me an article or a report about this, I really didn't know what to do with my hands, Smoke. I'm trying to pull this back up a second ago, but what was this, Adam Thompson's odds of where Trae Young plays next from bookies.com? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Thompson's odds at bookies.com has Trae Young the third highest percentage chance to play for the Hornets next season. I guess the highest probability is Trae Young returning to the Hawks, then the Spurs at 20%, and then the Hornets at 16.7%. So he has the Hornets with the third best odds to land Trae Young. How would that work? How would that work? Can you imagine him and LaMelo playing in the same backcourt?
What defense?
Right. So what are you proposing here? A trade that sends LaMelo to Atlanta?
I don't know. I would not send that to you if it was involving just no teams, but the fact that it involves the Hornets, I'm like, all right, this is just so ridiculous. I got to send it to Kyle.
Yeah, you sent it. And I saw Langston Wirtz was actually the one that posted it on Twitter. Shout out to Langston Wirtz of the Charlotte Observer. But I think he was as perplexed as the rest of us. Like, is Charlotte a real possibility? And I just don't see how. Now, we see a lot of this stuff. The odds makers will come up with who's the most likely to be the next head coach of X team. And, you know, you'll get a list of 10 candidates with odds assigned to their names. And it's in some ways just a made up number. But yeah, how would that work exactly? By the way, Trae Young and the Hawks not in the NBA playoffs. We will talk a bit about that coming up in about 17 minutes with Hunter Bailey. Covers the Hornets for the Charlotte Ledger and covers the 49ers for the Charlotte Observer. I should say Charlotte Post, my mistake. He's coming up in 16 minutes. We'll talk a bit about that. We'll get his thoughts on some of the Hornets rumors. And, of course, he covers the 49ers. And we'll talk about the spring game and the transfer portal and all that good stuff with Hunter Bailey in studio here in about 16 minutes. But right now, it's time for the best audio in sports.
What did you say?
You what?
What did you say?
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
What did I hear you say?
What I mean by that is...
All right, buddy. What's on the menu?
Well, we start in Talladega, Alabama, as Tyler Reddick went from fifth to first within the last quarter of a lap. And that meant for the first time since being an owner, Michael Jordan was there live to see one of his guards go to victory lane. And you could tell how excited he was when talking to Jamie Little on Fox afterwards.
We've done a heck of a job just to be where we are, and for us to win a big race like this, I mean, it means so much to me and for the effort that the team has done. And look, I'm all in. I'm all in. I love it. You know, it replaces a lot of the competitiveness that I had in basketball, but this is even worse, you know, because I have no control. If I was playing basketball, I have total control, but I have no control. So I live vicariously through the drivers and all the, you know, crew chiefs and everybody. So, I mean, I'm very happy for 23-11, 110%.
He sounds happy, doesn't he? Yep. And this is not a shock. We said this. Hell, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back or toot our own horns too much, but we were telling you for months before he sold the team, he wants out. He doesn't want to do this anymore. And so when you heard him there a second ago, I'm living vicariously through these drivers, and he said it replaces something for him that he can't get from basketball anymore. And it's like, man, you did own a basketball team. Oh, that's right. You didn't seem to ever be having a very good time running a basketball team. And so now he's a minority owner, and he still cashes the paychecks, and it's still a great investment for him, but he is clearly doing something that makes him so much happier than basketball does. And we don't have to get into all the points that we made way back when and, you know, why it seems like he's fallen out of love with the NBA and why he gets so much happier around a racetrack. He is a normal guy in the sense that, like a lot of us, he likes multiple sports. He grew up as a kid loving certain sports that he didn't play professionally. I mean, it's clear, Mike, two of his first loves were racing and baseball. And he became the greatest basketball player of all time. But now that, you know, he's the 60-year-old version of Michael Jordan. He's finding joy and fun and anything but basketball. And it's pretty wild.
And look, I understand the hate that came his way as an owner, but there's no hate when he's in that NASCAR garage because people are like, it's Michael Jordan. Oh, my gosh. And NASCAR loves having Michael Jordan at the track. For as average to mediocre as that race was yesterday, it was a big win for NASCAR to have Michael Jordan in victory lane.
Also, I have to throw this question out there because I don't know what you have coming up next. But I've seen the highlights of the Talladega tailgate scene and the infield parties this weekend. Where's the wildest party scene in sports? 704-570-9610. Hit me up with your submissions. Where is the wildest party scene in sports? Tailgates, infield parties, whatever the case may be. Because if you don't know what goes on at Talladega over the weekend, you just don't know what you don't know.
And that video that showed that is out on social media.
Well, K-Town Steve just said, so we're not going to talk about the naked women in the infield at Talladega. That's why I was trying to hint at it without being, you know, a little bit too in your face about it. But yeah, lots of naked women in the infield at Talladega this weekend.
Hardly a cell phone in sight, too.
Where is the wildest party scene in sports? I would have to think that Talladega,
it's in the top 10 at the very
least. Got to be top 10, maybe even top 5. If you've never experienced Dega, you just don't know. But already a lot of James Concord just said Buffalo. And you know what? He's right. A Buffalo Bills tailgate would have to register as one of the top 5 to top 10 wildest party scenes in sports. I know Talladega's up there. I know it is. JB the Appraiser just said the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Georgia, Florida, in Jacksonville. It just doesn't get much better than that. I'd say the Grove at Ole Miss is probably going to rank up there. But you start thinking about the great party scenes in sports. What comes to mind? 704-570-9610. Hit me up. We're going to come back to this.
Waste management.
The waste management. Yeah. The waste management. Exactly.
That's essentially golf's version of Talladega right there. But all right. Now heading into the weekend, we had the play-in games, the final play-in games, to determine the final spots in the NBA playoffs. And for the second straight year, the Heat beat the Bulls for that final spot. Things looked a little lighter inside Miami's arena, which led to Kendrick Perkins and Michael Wilbon calling out the citizens of the 305.
A close game is one to go home. I'm just a little disappointed in the fan base of the Miami Heat. It's too many open seats in there.
That's not a great fan base at all.
Yeah, but
it hasn't been.
I have to imagine that the Boston Celtics, Stephen A.
Now, Smoke played that out of pure selfishness and pettiness, and I'm here for it.
I hate to point that out there.
I bet you it's killing you Miami has a bad fan base.
You see how quickly Malika tried to turn the subject away? Sounds like she's a Miami Heat defender.
Oh, here we go. It was bad. It was really, really bad.
Fake-ass fan base.
But here's the thing. Like, it's Miami, bro. Like, people don't – who goes to Miami and says, you know, I'm going to go catch a Heat game? Some people do. Most people don't. When you it's not like the old Rust Belt cities. Like, you live in Pittsburgh and Buffalo and, you know, places like that. Sports is what everybody does. It's cold weather, you know. I'll leave it at that.
Just don't tell me your damn culture when you're a fake-ass fan base that's been lucky for 25 years.
Now, could I make the argument that, you know, Heat fans just have such high expectations for this team? They win titles down there. That's what they do. I will say to your point, it was pretty stark just how empty that place was a couple of nights ago.
You know how hard things have been for this fan base, specifically people my age, for the last 25 years, and you still see how many people show up to Hornets games on the regular? Yeah, I can't wait for that to happen to the Heat and they have no one show up and they relocate because they're bums.
It was bad. Now, I was waiting for Heat fan to chime in. He says the arena was also filled by halftime. The fans always show up late. Well, that's not really a great argument, if you ask me. I didn't see it fill up necessarily, but it got a little fuller. I'll give you that. But yeah, they're pretty Johnny-come-lately fans down there. They're pretty fair-weather fans down there.
Just look at the Marlins right now.
What else you got?
All right. Well, now, despite losing a close game in Game 1 last night off their series against the Thunder, the Pelicans seem like a tough out even without Zion. And after winning the final play-in spot on Friday, Larry Nance Jr. told us how confident he is in the Pelicans in this series.
You know, respectfully, I'm betting on the Pels. I'm not betting. No, Johnson. I'm not betting. I'm not betting on anything. I don't own a betting app. None of that.
That was kind of funny. And then he turned it up a notch with a Nojante. Now we had no Diddy, now we got Nojante. That was good stuff right there. I'm betting on the Thunder. Not really. I'm not actually betting. Nobody suspend me. Don't tell Adam. I'm not actually betting Nojante. That was good. That was really good.
They will be a tough out.
Sidebar, Heat fan is screaming at you in all caps on the text line right now. We are top five in attendance. Look it up.
Numbers can lie, sir. I've seen those arenas at the tip-off. You ain't a real fan base, buddy, all right?
Not a real fan base.
No, you're not a real. These next 5 to 10 years, once you guys suck, will finally be proved.
Yeah.
And thank you for that first-round pick, by the way.
That's what I want to know, too. Like,
once Pat Riley retires, once Spo realizes, hey, I can get out to greener pastures, you guys are going to suck.
Are Heat fans getting the same crowd that the 19-win Hornets got the night they beat the Cavaliers 3 weeks ago?
Hell no.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear you say.
Screw the Heat.
What else you got?
All right, we end with our friend Mac, as draft week is upon us.
And Chris McClain?
Yes.
Of Mac and Bone fame?
Yes. All right. And Draft Mac is one of the craziest versions of Chris McClain. But earlier today, he made it be known that he has to have his emotions in check this Friday for the draft.
Oh.
How about this? IPA Mac with two Panther draft choices on Friday night. That's a time right there.
There's a problem, though. There's a problem with IPA Mac in the draft on Friday night. We have Theater Mac on Friday night.
What?
My daughter, Caitlin.
You going to the ballet to see Tchaikovsky's Timeless Classic?
No, I would love to, but my daughter, Caitlin, is in a performance of Junie B. Jones at a theater in Union County. Matter of fact, she's in three performances this weekend. So anyway, Theater Mac will be watching his phone and his daughter, one eye on both, as Friday unfolds. So that is a little snafu there.
So what time does the show begin here?
I run around the draft, probably.
There could be a chance that your daughter's on stage and word comes down the Panthers have selected flounder Vlad McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia.
Yeah! Could you imagine the embarrassment for my poor 11-year-old daughter, Caitlin, if I start screaming, Vlad McConkey, baby, and she's up there performing?
That's incredible. Now, I had to admittedly Google Junie B. Jones. I'd never heard of it.
You really?
Am I supposed to know about Junie B. Jones?
I had to read Junie B. Jones' books when I was in elementary school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of Junie B. Jones.
Junie B. Jones.
I think it's Junie B. Jones.
Oh.
You just said you read it.
I did. It's been a while,
though. Is it the children's book series about the kid in kindergarten?
Yes.
Then it's Junie B. Jones. You didn't read it, you liar.
Yes, I did.
You didn't even know the name of it.
Yes, I did.
I was just sitting here imagining Mac in, like, Swan Lake or the Nutcracker. The Panthers select Vlad McConkey, and he chucks his phone across the... Never mind. That's awesome.
No. I can only imagine if they draft Keon Coleman on Friday, he'd be like, what? Oh, no, not Keon Coleman.
Give me a negative Mac reaction to the draft in the middle of an elementary school production of Junie B. Jones. That's
incredible.
While his
daughter's on the stage.
Oh, and she's humiliated. Dad, stop it.
But the Panthers just drafted Keon Coleman. Come on.
That's fantastic. All right, we'll come back. Hunter Bailey covers the Hornets for the Charlotte Post, the 49ers for the Charlotte Observer. We'll get to all of it in the NBA playoffs with Hunter Bailey next. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
It's Walker Mail from Wes and Walker. Join us 12 to 3 Tuesday. What starting players for the Panthers could lose their job? All on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
I just poured something in my cup. I've been wanting something I can feel. Oh.
promise I am never letting up.
Big sports weekend behind us. The NFL draft coming up in a couple of days. We're taking your thoughts on all of it on the FanDuel text line 704-570-9610. Texters writing in. It's a smorgasbord of text here on a Monday. Texters saying, James from Concord said, I'd instantly get a Ladd McConkey jersey. Go Dogs. And then we have a whole discussion about the wildest party scenes in sports. We're coming off Talladega and a wild finish where Michael McDowell tried to throw a block that led to absolute chaos. And I don't mean to be the negative guy, but it's about the only portion of that race you really needed to see, if I'm being real with you. But it was an incredible ending. Michael McDowell tried to throw a block, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just went to haywire. Tyler Reddick gets the win for 23-11 Racing. Brad Keselowski finishing second in that race, by the way, in case you lost track like I did. So all that's going on. But the party scene at Talladega, I won't use the word unrivaled because there's probably something out there that's as good. But there's not much, man. And Texter's blowing us up. The Kentucky Derby infield has been pretty popular on the text line so far. Actually, very popular. 704 number says West Virginia in Morgantown. Yeah, West Virginia in Morgantown. I haven't been in a long time, and I think I'm too old to go back at this point. I don't think it's safe for me to go back, but that is a hell of a party scene. I'm with you.
Counterpoint, though, there were a couple fans at Talladega jumping over a couch that was on fire yesterday as well.
So they brought some West Virginia to Talladega.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's a good one. T. Bizzle hits me with a really good one. He says LSU night game. And if you've not been to a game in the Bayou at night, you just don't fully understand what it's like to be surrounded by 80,000 drunk screaming Cajuns when the sun goes down. I mean, it's a life experience that I would recommend, but it will change you. There's no doubt about that. Indy 500 coming in. The cocktail party's coming in. A lot of good stuff on the text line. Send me the wildest party scenes in sports, 704-570-9610, while we welcome in our buddy Hunter Bailey. He covers the Hornets for the Charlotte Post, the 49ers for the Charlotte Observer. He's back with us here in studio on a Monday. What's up, buddy? How you been?
Good, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Great. What's the best party scene you've ever experienced in sports?
Ooh, my brain goes straight to like 04, 08 Talladega when Dale Jr. is winning pretty much every time.
Oh, yeah?
Go down a couple times, yeah.
Look at you. So you know the power of Talladega.
I was young, but it was a different time, man. You know what's going on here.
Did you see the videos of the infield from over the weekend?
How could you miss it?
How could you miss the, yeah. Yeah, how could you? So, I mean, you know what the true party scene of Talladega looks like.
For sure.
Best college tailgate you've ever been to? Which one?
Oof. Not at UNC Charlotte. Sorry, Charlotte fans. It was not there.
All right, so you got to throw a shot up front. All right, I hear you. All right, now they had the spring game this weekend, and the first thing you said when you walked in here, and I saw it over the – I didn't see the game live or anything, but I saw the reports, and it was like, I don't think they've run the ball once today. And it turns out you're right. That's actually the case, right?
Not a single time, man. Biff wearing the run the dang ball hat, throws the ball every single time. It was good to kind of see – because that was the issue last year, right? You got split starters at quarterback, 6 touchdowns to 17 picks the whole year. You needed to see something with the quarterbacks to feel better about this team, and you got to see Max Brown from Florida, Deshaun Purdy, who's a true freshman, and you feel good about what you saw, but at the same time, I think there's a little bit going on here, like you don't want to show too much, because I cannot foresee a Biff Poggi team throwing the ball more than 70% of the time.
So that was strictly, hey, let's go get some work on the passing game.
Definitely. He said it was a blitz pickup. Scrimmage. That was the idea. Little to no mix up in coverages on the defense. A lot of 4 verticals on offense. So yeah, that was. Let's see some jump balls. Let's try and see some fun stuff. Get the fans involved because they missed that aspect completely a year ago.
Oh, they did. That's what I mean. You come out of last year, the defense gave them a lot of opportunities at times to win games. There were times they couldn't score. So it's not a shock that he wants to get this right. But where's your level of optimism that all of a sudden the passing game is going to turn into something prolific?
I feel good about what they have as far as some of these new guys, these new wideouts. Isaiah Myers coming from Independence Community College, 6'5". He's a bigger body guy. That's what they missed last year, 50-50 balls. I think he'll be that guy. They just got Corey Dutchess from Maryland, who honestly was a tight end at Maryland. He's a problem. He's going to be a really good receiver here. Mm-hmm. He's switching probably to play the X or the Y in this offense. And you like what you see from Max Brown. Everyone keeps talking about his leadership. He's mobile. That's going to be the big thing. He didn't really show that in the spring because, you know, these quarterbacks aren't really getting hit. They're all in the red jerseys. But I think he's going to be a real dual threat quarterback for them, and they're going to need that. And it's just overall, how do you turn the page from 3-9 last year? You won one home game last year, and that was against South Carolina State in the opener. How can you bring fun back to Jerry Richardson Stadium, and how can you bring elite tailgating to Jerry Richardson Stadium?
Well, and look, I mean, you got to win to bring the people, right? For sure. loyal, devoted, diehard 49ers fans. They're on my text line all the time. But you got to give people a reason to come out and spend their money and, you know, come out and fire up the grill at 6:30 in the morning to get ready for a noon kick and things like that. And I think Biff brought that initial punch of optimism and attitude. I mean, hell, he was on this show a year ago asking for more money. And, you know, he's not a shy guy. He's a very brash human being. And I think folks are looking for him to back that up. And one thing that, you know, is really important, at least I think anyway on paper, is the fact that he added Tim Brewster, yep. right? He added Dre Bly. Yep. Those are clearly recruiting moves. It's not to speak of their coaching acumen, but those are clearly recruiting moves. But in this day and age of college football, you need an NIL fund. Or you need to be able to pay guys to keep them on your squad. So, I mean, just talk about that a bit. The portal additions that they've made, but also the additions to the coaching staff that are supposed to pay off in recruiting. But how much of any of that does it matter if you can't pay to keep your guys around?
Definitely. I think, I mean, you mentioned Dre Bly, like that's College Football Hall of Famer. Like there's a certain level of respect that yeah. a guy like he comes with. And knowing the area, that's funny. So Brewster and Bly, Brewster actually coached Bly back in the day. They worked together at Carolina. They understand the recruiting landscape, and Brewster was asked post game, does this feel like your last stop at Colorado as far as the way they're using the portal? And while there are some similarities and some very clear differences, the similarity is this, is you've got to recruit the Carolinas, and the NIL collective part is huge. I mean, you're talking about Biff Poggi, multimillionaire hedge fund manager. You got to think there's some optimism there for him, as well as the Charlotte community itself. But it's really, can you continue to bring guys in? And we got players that I talked to over the weekend saying they came to Charlotte to play with Max Brown. You love to hear some stuff like that, talking about a Florida transfer quarterback. This is why people are coming to play with a talent like that. You feel really good about that if you're the Charlotte 49er faithful.
You'd have to. Hunter Bailey in studio with us here, talking 49ers, talking Hornets. Real quick on the 49ers before we get to some Hornets stuff. Last we spoke to you, basketball had suffered a couple of, you know, pretty important, significant outgoing transfers. Aaron Fern, like everybody else in this business right now, is trying to make sure he's got a roster in place for next season. What's that looking like right now?
He's working, man. They've already added a couple. He's going to come on our podcast next week to talk some about what that offseason is like, what that NIL is like, because the collective for hoops, right? You've got guys like DeSean Jackson going to Iowa State. He was the only player on NIL. Charlotte had one of the least, like, profitable or least, I don't even know the right word, but fruitful NIL funds last year. They're continuing to build that. They're getting guys like Nick Graves back. They're getting Lakai Patterson back. And they've got a couple more on the way. So you feel good about what's going on. Clearly Patterson is going to be that lead dog next year. How do you build the team around him? And I think Fern, he showed it last year. Even with losing two or three of your big pieces, you can make a contender in the American. And because every single team in this league is dealing with the same thing.
Igor Milicic, we thought maybe going back to UVA, but it sounds like they're not in his final three, right?
I think he's going to end up with Tennessee. I'm not 100% sure, but I going to Rick Barnes, man, that's
it'd be a good fit for him.
Yeah,
for That'd be a really good fit for him. All right.
Dalton Connect. Go there and try and make a difference just like that.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. All right, so let's talk basketball for a second. I already asked you about the Trae Young rumor. Do we need to dignify that within any conversation?
No.
Okay, good. All right, we can leave that alone. There's another report out there that, once again, the Detroit Pistons might be trying to prioritize Miles Bridges this summer. For those that don't know, the Hornets, in re-signing him to the one-year deal, they kept his bird rights so they can still pay Miles more than anybody else. But apparently the Pistons are going to make another run at Miles Bridges. What do you make of this?
Miles has reiterated in person, like to all the cameras, to me individually, multiple people, he wants to be a Charlotte Hornet. He continues to say that. He feels like this is where his home is. This is the team that gave him the opportunity, the team that came back from everything he dealt with, everything involved with that over the past 2 years. This is where he wants to be. I think Detroit, I mean, it would make sense for the Pistons to go after a 3-and-D wing, something similar like that, someone who can create their own shot. But at the same time, I think he fits so key in what Charlotte is trying to do at that 3-4 tweener position. They're going to keep him here, man. And like I said, all that they've talked about both sides is how can we get a deal done? And I don't think they're that far apart at this point.
And it helps that you've got Brandon Miller still on his rookie contract, Mark Williams still on his rookie deal. You know, I don't think there's any urgency to, I mean, you're probably already looking at, you know, Brandon Miller's rookie extension at some point, because it's not going to be that far away. But I don't think Mark Williams is one that you're looking too hard at with that right now. So you've got some money to play with. I think he makes them better. There will be a lot of people who say, oh, let him go. Let him go to Detroit. I don't think that's in their plans.
Yeah. I mean, he almost got traded. He was in the rumors. I mean, there was a lot of stuff with Phoenix back and forth, couple picks, couple players. They had prioritized keeping him here at the end of the day. I don't think they're going to let a team like Detroit come in and take them away at this point.
All right. Well, the Hornets aren't playing in the playoffs.
Nah.
But they do have a big draft selection to decide on coming up. Now, did we get the coin flip happen, by the way? Or when is that coin flip, Smoke? Do you know?
I heard nothing of it.
Okay. You know the coin flip between Charlotte and Portland?
I've heard about it. I thought it was supposed to be announced today.
Is it today?
I'm not sure.
All right, we'll double check it during the break. But because, you know, the Hornets and the Trailblazers tied in the standings, they're going to flip a coin to see who gets slightly better odds for the number one overall pick. It's going to be minuscule, like nearly negligible, so it won't matter that much. But, you know, there's still a very real possibility they end up with the number one overall pick, yeah. You know, or 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. I guess I'm seeing Alex Sarr as something of a consensus number one overall pick, but this kid, Zachary Resacher. I'm probably butchering the name out of back-to-back Frenchmen, apparently going off the top of the draft. Any of these guys that you love, or do you think maybe they're better off looking to trade this pick for a veteran?
So I spent a lot of time the past couple weeks looking at this because you're right. Hornets season is over, and I'm watching guys like Ant Edwards get in the face of Kevin Durant and say, this is my time. And I just, all I can think about is Brandon Miller doing that in 2 to 3 years. So what piece they need to pair with these guys, give me Cody Williams out of Colorado.
Mm.
I think he'll be there in that 5 to 7 range, which Hornets most likely pick would be 6 right now, the highest percentage. Obviously, the lottery odds are really weird. They could really end up anywhere in there. Brother of the Thunder's Jalen Williams. He doesn't really shoot the ball a ton. He did shoot 41% from 3, but it's on a very low clip. But 6'8", 7'1 wingspan, great defender. Puts you right there in that 3 to 4 range. That's who I would take with the pick if it's there. Is he going to be that necessarily elite offensive player off the rip? No. He moves well without the ball. We talk about Brandon Miller needing the ball. Now you talk about LaMelo. Someone that can throw bodies at guys like Jason Tatum, Giannis Antetokounmpo. They need a wing, another wing that can really make that type of thing. Because you look at all these NBA playoff teams. Think about the Pelicans right now, the Thunder right now. 6'8 wings that can put the ball in the hole and play good defense. That's what this team needs to keep building around, because you feel really good about Mark Williams. At least I do, obviously, getting back on the court.
But, you do?
Yes.
I'm still worried about it. I got to be real. I'm still worried about it. Now, this is not a criticism of you, but I just checked Kyle Boone's latest mock from 16 minutes ago. He's got Cody Williams outside the lottery at 16.
I would take him there at 6 or 7.
So would you look to trade down then? Or because if you end up with because what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
They end up with what? The 3rd pick, 4th pick?
If you get that high, you might be looking at someone like Reed Blankenship. Or Reed Sheppard.
Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky. I think this is kind of the issue with the draft. Yeah. You know, I see a lot of Hornets picking at 4 these days with Nikola Topic or Topic? I forget. I don't know the exact. I think it's Topic. You know, 6'6 guard. I think a lot of the rationale I see for that one is people saying he's a great insurance policy to LaMelo Ball, but are you drafting a LaMelo insurance policy this year?
You're paying LaMelo $35 million next year.
Right.
And just signed the $260. I don't think you're looking for insurance on LaMelo yet. I think you might be looking to fill out. Last year, remember, it was Scoot or Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
And that the idea then was who fits better next to Melo. Why is that different now? You pick the best player there.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. Yeah. I wouldn't argue with that. All right, NBA playoffs.
Yes, sir.
There's some good games. I thought, first of all, Oklahoma City, a little drama. SGA gets the win with a big shot late. That was a fun game to watch. Even Knicks, Philadelphia, fun game to watch. Although I do find myself being annoyed by Joel Embiid more than ever and the treatment he gets from the officials. I loved the theatrics from Anthony Edwards, you know, in the game. They blasted the Suns. And then you got the Heat. Smoke's been giving them hell. What stood out to you from the weekend in the NBA playoffs?
Damian Lillard can still do it.
There's a lot of questions about him a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then he shows up.
I mean, he showed up in the first half. 35 in the first. And then I'm going to defer in the second. But it was good to see that he could still get it done, right?
Because, yep.
I mean, you're 2 years without the playoffs. They've had an up and down year. They fired their coach at 30-13, and they didn't even get to 50 wins. That's just, you're talking about Milwaukee being an up and down team, doing that without Giannis against the Indiana Pacers team that didn't have a lot of playoff experience. Really fun first game for Dame Lillard. And then, I mean, just Dallas and LA, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great series. I think that goes 7, and I cannot foresee Luka not putting at least one dagger in the Clippers' fence.
I think they do still end up winning the series. I'm looking at a couple of these right now. I just wish the Hornets were in some of these series.
Dude, just think about the environment here at Spectrum Center.
I know. That's it. That's what I want to see.
I'm watching the Oklahoma City game last night, and you see all the, just everyone's in the same color. The crowd pops when SGA hits a shot, and you're thinking about what could that be like here? Because, I mean, it's been, what, now 8 seasons.
It's also, yeah, it's also just so frustrating. Yet the Magic looked terrible on Saturday,
yeah,
but they're in. Yeah. I mean, they went 50 games. This the Thunder, number one seed in the West. Like, these are teams that were in the same neighborhood as the Hornets just 2 years ago.
Yep.
And now they're, you know, 50, 55 win basketball teams. And I know it's mostly injuries around here, but it's so maddening to watch that take place.
Yeah, and you look at teams like Orlando, they don't have a player like LaMelo Ball.
No.
Like they, I well, mean, they obviously, Paolo Banchero, they have great players. Jonathan Isaac's a good defender. But they don't have, like, a star power player like that. They just don't have one on the roster. And you got to see him on the court, man.
No doubt. Hey, it was good to see you, buddy.
You too, guys.
Hunter Bailey in studio. Good to check in with him. Let's go to Smoke on the headlines.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Who is Smoke? Where is Smoke? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's go.
All right, Smokey, what's the latest?
All right, well, I want to let you know that tonight is a pretty big night for the NBA playoffs as it continues. Game 2 between the Sixers and the Knicks. Big news for the Sixers coming out today. No Tyrese Maxey due to an illness. So you got a banged up Joel Embiid and no Tyrese Maxey. If the Knicks don't win this tonight, that'll be a pretty big shocker. That game's on TNT. 7 o'clock is game 2 on NBA TV between the Magic and the Cavs. And 10 o'clock, the nightcap game is the Lakers versus the Nuggets. Nuggets took care of business after playing it close for a half. But any opinions on the playoffs?
First of all, did you see Knicks fans chanting, "We want Boston"?
Yes, and I also saw that the No, you don't. But I also saw the side talk guys. They still hate Trae Young.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They're still chanting F Trae Young.
Well, I still can't get over the "We want Boston" chants. No, you don't.
No.
You really don't. No one does, especially not you. I'm glad the Knicks are relevant again, but you don't want Boston. What else you got?
All right. Well, that's not the only playoffs going on right now, Kyle, as the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs started on Saturday as well.
Yeah, they did.
The Hurricanes got a 3-1 win over the Islanders to start off their series. Game 2 is tonight at 7:30 on ESPN2, or you could watch it on Bally with Mike Maniscalco and Trip Tracy.
Yeah, I'm excited about this, and the best part is for Rod Brendamore, he was not happy with the way they played on Saturday. And so if you're a coach, that's the sweet spot. You get a win, and you can act pissed off about it and talk about all the things that need to be cleaned up. It was the perfect scenario for them, off to a 1-0 lead in the series. What else you got?
And moving over to the Gas House in Gastonia, the Gastonia Honey Hunters, you know, they're currently in limbo of ownership. I think the city now owns the team. Well, apparently, got announced on Queen City News, the Gastonia Baseball Club is set to embark on an otherworldly adventure as they take the field under one of 8 temporary team names.
What?
Yes, they are going to have a season where they technically play under 8 team names this year.
So stop. So this is government-run baseball now.
I don't know exactly
who's running it.
I don't know exactly who it is. I think it might be the county. Get based off the previous ownership.
We have to confirm that. But if that's right, government-run baseball team that's going to play under 8 different names in a season.
To see which team name is the favorite.
Wow.
So they're starting with the Gastronauts.
Wow. I don't have any words, man.
So what are the team names do you think this baseball team should go by?
I can't get past Gastronauts. What are the other ones? What are the other names?
We don't know. Apparently, they're having 8 series like this. The next one will be in June. The first one where they're playing as the Gastronauts will be from May 14th to May 19th.
Okay,
the second one and What If Night Runs are June 4th to June 9th. They have not announced the team name.
All right, well, let the text line rename the Gastonia Honey Hunters. The Gastronauts. Are you kidding me? That's awful. It's funny, but it's awful.
Just call it the gas house.
K-Town Steve just said you're wrong, Smoke. There's an ownership group, and they have previous experience with running baseball teams.
Oh.
They're having a contest.
My bad.
Just fan fiction on a Monday?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, but yeah, I got it mixed up with the whole... Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay. So we're going to reset after that one.
Yeah.
All right.
But they are going to be playing a series as the Gastronauts, Kyle.
All right. We'll come back. We'll tell you who balled out. Scott Fowler coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
This is Trey Mann, and you're listening to Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ FN Harrisburg and WLNK HD3 Charlotte, home of the Charlotte sports fan.
Intercepted by Julius Peppers, and he takes it all the way, 47 yards for the score.
Here comes Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney will survive and win the Bank of America Roval 400.
High performers, big time achievers, we call it Who Balled Out, and it's powered by High Performance Real Estate Advisors and the biggest baller of them all, Thomas Elrod. Go to highperformancerealestate.com and they'll see you at the closing table. Smoke, what you got?
I'm going with Freddie Anderson, 33 saves out of 34 in the net on Saturday for the Canes. As the Canes won 3-1, hopefully he can replicate that performance later on tonight.
I like that. I'm going Scottie Scheffler. This one's easy. It actually happened earlier today. He had to wait an extra day to make it official. But this morning, Scottie Scheffler finished off one of the great seven-week runs in modern golf history with a three-shot win at the RBC Heritage. He took a five-stroke lead into Sunday evening. His play was suspended for darkness. And he returned early today to finish off the $20 million signature event at 19 under. The win didn't necessarily look like a foregone conclusion earlier in the week because he said he was spent from an emotional, just very taxing week winning the Masters last week. Got off to kind of a rough start, but I mean, my man is just cruising. His fourth victory in his last five events, all of which have been monstrous tournaments. He won the Arnold Palmer Invitational and Players Championship in March, finished tied for second at the Houston Open, and has now taken the Masters and the RBC Heritage in April. Total money earned in that time, $16 million. $16 million in his last five events. The last player to win four times in a five-start stretch on the PGA Tour was...
Tiger Woods.
That's it. That's exactly right. Tiger Woods at the end of 2007 into the beginning of 2008. Tiger's run was win, win, tied for second, win, 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 win. That was Tiger's run back in 2007, 2008. Also, you sent me this, and I think it's just, it's really, really good. The fewest starts for a PGA Tour player from his first win to his 10th win. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
The record is still held by, and I think may always be held by, David Duval. David Duval got his 10th win on the PGA Tour in his 33rd try. That's incredible. I'll get back to David Duval in a second. David Duval got his 10th win in his 33rd start on the PGA Tour. To put that into perspective, it took Tiger Woods 59 tournaments to get to his 10th win. It took Rory McIlroy 79 tournaments. It took Justin Thomas 94, and it took Jordan Spieth 97. All right, so sandwiched in between, well, he's not quite there yet. Scottie Scheffler has 9 wins in 50 starts. So if he can win one more time in his next 9, he will have bested Tiger Woods. Or I guess his next 8. He will have bested Tiger Woods and will be number 2 all-time on that list. Scottie Scheffler, we talked about this after the Masters, and golf fans already know this. But if you've been paying attention to Scottie Scheffler, I don't know how sustainable this is. I don't know what his final numbers look like in terms of how many majors he wins, how many tour events he wins. I don't know. None of us know yet. He's still in his late 20s. But he is on a tear right now that we've only ever seen from Tiger Woods. That's how good Scottie Scheffler is. He's absolutely amazing at what he does, and he just keeps going out there and winning. Now, again, how long will he do it? At what point will it take a toll? You know, we've seen guys get on incredible hot streaks before, but right now he's doing things only Tiger Woods has done.
By the way, his wife still has not given birth yet. So,
are you serious?
Yeah. That was a story as
well. She still hasn't given birth?
No.
Well, I guess it's their first, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, like, my first child was like a week late. So that tracks. I mean, a lot of women on their first pregnancy, you see, I guess, you know, carry to term or a bit beyond that. So that's not my understanding anyway. That's not crazy.
Because I forget who does the commentary besides Jim Nance now. I forget his name, but he was saying, "Oh, hang on for one more day, honey. You're gonna be good. He's gonna win," because they had to finish the last 3 holes.
Trevor Immelman.
Yeah, I believe that's who it was.
Okay.
Was basically saying, hold on for one more day. He'll be back home soon. He needs to win this tournament here. And, I mean, it's incredible. Now, I don't think he'll play this week because this week's DeVals Bar, and that's a doubles tournament, essentially.
Yeah.
So I don't really see why he plays this one. But, yeah, I mean, just to see how hot he is, I wouldn't be shocked if it's only a matter of time, it feels like, and depending on when his wife gives birth, that we'll see him in Charlotte next month.
Yeah, probably. Well.
Probably.
Does he play the Wells Fargo?
Well, it's right up against the PGA Championship, so I feel like he would play it, given a massive amount of, it's a bigger purse as well. So if he's playing in RBC, and no offense to RBC, but it's not as big as the Wells Fargo.
Okay. All right, by the way, that was his 10th. This Golf Channel graphic was
I thought that was yesterday. Yeah.
That was yesterday. So okay. It's his 10th win in 51 starts, I guess. So he is second on the list now.
Jeez.
That's what it comes out to. Because I saw Kyle Boone post the graphic. I didn't realize it was still in tournament. But, yeah, that means 10 wins and 51 starts. That places him second all time.
Yeah.
He's absolutely amazing.
And the crazy thing is, Kyle, if you look at the rest of that leaderboard, it looked like it would have been a humdinger of a finish. There are like 8 to 10 guys within 2 strokes.
Yeah.
And then Scottie Scheffler just all by himself.
Yeah, Panther Bo just said, Scottie has 2 majors at 27. Tiger had 10 by age 30. Believe me, to be clear, no one's suggesting that he's caught Tiger. What we're saying is, this stretch of golf, only guys like Tiger Woods have ever done this.
Let's be more fair. His recent stretch of golf is a lot like what we saw with Rory in 2012 to 2014.
Yeah, the question is, how sustainable is it? That's the question. Also, just I mentioned David Duval a second ago. Anytime you start talking about, like, whatever happened to that guy in sports, you know what I'm talking about? Like, whatever happened to him? Whatever happened to him? Like, David Duval, you weren't old enough to appreciate his...
He was right before I started watching sports, because he was late 90s, early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, from 1999 to 2009, right, that was Tiger's peak of his powers.
I'd say 97, because that's when he won the first Masters.
Fair. But from 1999 to 2009, only David Duval and Vijay Singh, those are the only players not named Tiger Woods to claim number one in the world golf rankings.
Not even Phil?
Not in that stretch, no. It was just Duval and Vijay Singh, according to Golf HQ. To a lot of younger fans, David Duval is just the guy that talks on the Golf Channel. That's what he does. To them, anyway. But he was absolutely incredible. Again, I'll use the phrase at the height of his powers. But he's kind of like Zach Greinke in that he never really wanted the spotlight. And if you go back and listen to him talk about it now, he was not prepared, like, socially or emotionally to be number one in the world. He apparently, like Zach Greinke, battled with social anxiety, pretty shy, very rarely took off his sunglasses. And I think, you know, because of that, there were some people that looked at him differently. But, man, when you start talking about whatever happened to that guy in sports, David Duval, for a lot of people, ends up on the list. Like, hey, whatever happened to David Duval? Well, he's on TV. He talks about golf all the time. But to the younger generation, again, they have no idea who he is, basically, other than he's the guy that talks on TV, when in reality, he's one of the greatest, most talented golfers that any of us have ever seen play.
And I also think his anxiety didn't help, that when he was playing golf was when, because of Tiger, golf had probably the biggest renaissance and rating spike that they've ever had. Like, if he was playing in the 80s, I think he could get by with it a little bit better. I know Jack and Arnold were still playing, but golf nationwide had a different impact when I was growing up as a kid because of one person and one person only. That's because of Tiger Woods. But yeah, you point that out. Like, heck, Vijay Singh's still competing pretty well in some of these tournaments too. He was at RBC this past weekend as well. He was at the Masters, still competing in the Masters. I actually got happy that I saw Vijay Singh still competing, because Vijay Singh was, he was underrated. It felt like if Tiger wasn't winning, it was Vijay that was winning. So I was kind of glad to see Vijay still golfing.
Yeah, 704-570-9610. Hit us up on the text line. Bob Wells says, KB, there's a good documentary on Duvall that brings into sight his struggles. I'm not shocked by that. Never seen it, obviously, but I bet it made for a hell of a story. Because I remember him doing a lot of winning back then, you know, leading a lot of sports centers on spring and summer mornings and thinking, man, this guy's incredible. And then all of a sudden, a few years later, it's like nobody ever talks about David Duvall anymore. All right, hour number three next. Scott Fowler in 24 minutes. We'll talk about all things Panthers, draft, Hornets with him. A lot to get into. But when we come back, a couple of things we haven't gotten to yet in the show. Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.